T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Friday afternoon. Don't forget, cooler weather moving in this weekend. What are we looking at? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. 61 tomorrow. Slight chance, 40% chance of rain. 67 Sunday, and then low 60s through the first half of next week. So cooler weather is definitely on the way. Enjoy. Story here from CNN. The U.S. is expected to keep 100,000 troops stationed in Europe for the foreseeable future unless Russia escalates and threatens Sweden and or Finland or any other NATO members. The numbers could temporarily increase if NATO carries out more military exercises in the region, but the United States plans to keep about 100,000 troops in Europe. That is an increase from about 60,000 troops that were there just not too long ago. From the Kansas City Star. Oh. A high school senior class in Oklahoma, Dana Wright. A high school senior class in Oklahoma raised money throughout the year to take a trip to Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida together. But on the day of their flight, they learned they had been scammed.
No!
The graduating class at Oklahoma Union High School traveled up to Springfield, Missouri this week for their flight. Their plane tickets, however, illegitimate.
How do you book illegitimate plane tickets?
Upon arrival to the Springfield Branson National Airport, we found out we had recently been scammed by hackers who tied their number to be Allegiant Airlines. Brenda Taylor, the superintendent.
Oh, no.
Brenda Taylor, I'm not laughing at them, telling KTUL-TV that school officials had been in contact with who they believed to be Allegiant officials for months.
Wow.
Were even given confirmation of their flights. 40 students were scheduled to go on that trip.
Let me tell you how this happens for everyone like myself just screaming, how does this happen? I know exactly how it happens because it almost happened to us. If you Google, unfortunately, if you Google Southwest Airlines or Delta Airlines or Allegiant Airlines, hackers have, over the years, somehow faked the algorithm and tricked it to take over the first result that you get. And so a couple of years ago, we were looking to change one of our flights, like from a Monday to a Tuesday. I was with my girlfriend, Amy, who flies all the time. And I'm on my phone and I Google Southwest Airlines. And I'm here to tell you, do not ever Google one of the airlines. The first number that pops up, I hit bloop instead of just going to, is it flyswa.com or whatever the website is.
Right.
They tell you go directly to the website. Do not Google it. Because what ended up happening was this very nice man answered, which I should have known immediately that I'm not on hold. This is weird. He's got the computer. And he said, I'm sorry, we're looking, you know, to change our flight from Monday to Tuesday. He says, what's your confirmation number? I give it to him. Not realizing that now once someone has your confirmation number,
they've logged in.
They can look up your flight. I didn't know that. I thought you had to have No. He's like, okay, I see you right here. Mm-hmm. Leaving at 5 a.m. from Kansas City. Yep. Arriving in Denver at such. Yep. He had all of it right in front of him because I gave him the key. He says, and you want to change that to what? And I'm like, we want to come back Tuesday. He he's actually changing my flight, by the way. He's a scammer, but he's changing the flight. He says, okay, it's a $50 change fee. I need your American Express. I go, okay. Pull out my wallet. Give him my card.
Oh.
And a couple of minutes later, Amy looks at me and she goes, wait a minute, what did he tell you? And I go, well, it's $50 to change it, but that's not a big deal. She goes, I don't think there's a change flight fee on South. I that doesn't sound right. She said, who did you call? I said, this number. So she starts working backwards and goes, oh my God, call and cancel your credit card. This is a scam. Now, he changed our flight. You realize this because he had the confirmation number.
So he did at least do
He was able to at least make an adjustment, but now he's got our credit card number. And he was a little short with me on the phone. What time? When are you leaving? All right. You know, which should have been another red flag. Southwest has amazing customer service. This is how this happened. They Googled it, got some phone number, booked all these flights, gave them their school credit card number, Scott. This is so sad. But if it's never happened to you, it's easy to see how this happened because it happened to us.
Why don't you just book through the website?
Because I thought it'd be easier to call because we were at a restaurant when we were talking about it.
No, I mean,
for the school, there's an app. You can go on and book as many tickets as you want
but
to.
They were looking at Allegiant, and they I guarantee you they Googled the phone number and got the wrong phone number.
Well, that stinks. But hang on. The city of Springfield, Missouri came to the rescue, sort of. The town of Springfield came out in force for the teenagers. The school said on Facebook, they were provided with free entry to the Wonders of Wildlife Natural Museum and Aquarium. Bass Pro Shops also gave hats and gift cards to the students. Thank you, Springfield, the school wrote on Facebook with a picture of the class in their hats and a sign that was welcoming them to the aquarium.
God bless those kids. Listen to this from fastcompany.com. If it's been a while since you bought a plane ticket or made an online reservation for a rental car, be alert. Travel season has picked up, so have the scams. And one of the very first ones listed is the one that I just said to you. The scammers creep in when you need to make a change to your plane ticket. For example, you want to adjust your plans. If your flight is canceled or delayed, you Google the airline number. You call a fake number the con artists have set up. It is not Delta, United, or whoever you want to reach, but you don't know that. You give them your credit card number for the rebooking fee. Boom, they gotcha. Federal Trade Commission, by the way, last year said that consumers lost $399 million to travel fraud.
Some of that was yours.
Yep.
Nice.
An originally sanctioned senior prank at a Texas high school took a rather destructive turn this week, causing thousands of dollars in damages and forcing the school to cancel classes for the rest of the academic year. The approved prank was organized by a small group of students at Frisco's Memorial High School and involved sticking post-it notes all over the walls. But the stunt turned into a building-wide act of vandalism, apparently. The extent of the damage was enough that the high school canceled its last classes on Thursday and Friday so the campus could be cleaned, cutting the year short for graduating seniors. School officials say they plan to make the students responsible for the vandalism pay for it. Damage, by the way, estimated in the thousands of dollars, includes paint on the walls, destruction of furniture, discharge fire extinguishers throughout the school. So you had an approved prank where the seniors were going to come in and put sticky notes, little post-it notes all over the school.
Sure.
A couple of bad actors got into the mix, and they trashed the school during the process. They have contacted police.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure out who were the bad actors in this approved prank, and school's
And remind
out.
Your kids, a prank is one thing, felony vandalism is another, and sometimes you start out, like you said, Scott, this is just going to be fun. We're just going to go do something goofy.
Look at us.
Yep. Now no one's walking on graduation day.
576-7798. She's Dana Rand. I'm Scott Parks. Sam Stevie over there. We got Festivus Friday. The airing of the grievances coming your way right after 5 o'clock. All right, welcome back from the New York Post update on the situation out of Buffalo that occurred last weekend. We told you the other day that the suspected shooter in Buffalo, Peyton Gendron, had invited a number of people into a private chat room about 30 minutes before the shooting at Tops grocery store in Buffalo. And that during this chat room, 30 minutes prior to the shooting, shared his plans, detailed plans on what he was about to do. We now know that 15 people accepted the invitation to that private chat room, chillingly named Happening, This Is Not a Drill.
We can't charge all of those people.
I don't know. The Washington Post reports that 15 people accepted the investigation or the invitation, citing a person with knowledge of the messaging platform's probe. A copy of the invite reviewed by the Washington Post said the accepted users also could view a video stream through Twitch of what happened 30 minutes later. It is unclear, here we go, it is unclear if Discord, that's the site that he used for the chat, will be able to determine exactly what the 15 users did after they accepted Gendron's invitation. They are assisting law enforcement. Now, whether or not they have grounds for any sort of charges, who knows? A Discord rep also telling CNN, what we know at this time is that a private invite-only server was created by the suspect. 15 people, we have now learned, tuned into that chat. But whether or not they were active participants in the chat is unknown.
Just by knowing that this is about to happen makes them a participant. It certainly makes them spectators.
But you have to be able to prove, and here's where the law gets a little tricky.
Right, that he was just blowing off steam. He didn't really mean it, even though he had posted maps of the grocery store.
And keep in mind, it was entitled, This Is Not a Drill, Happening Now. This Is Not a Drill was the name of the invite. But if I'm a defense lawyer, prove that my client was actually paying any attention. Once he or she accepted the invite to this chat.
Yeah, I went and did gardening work out back.
Yeah. Shortly after they accepted the chat, they just accepted it. They knew Gendron. He annoyed them, but they accepted it anyway. And right after they accepted it, they got up from their computer and they went and took a shower. Or they went outside. Or mom called them upstairs and they had to get to the grocery store. I mean, you've got to be able to prove that my client paid attention and was aware. And I don't think you can do it, sadly.
You could release their names.
That's the problem. Sam, explain this.
So Discord is based off of a username that you create, typically an alias, because people don't want to be identified by their full name on a public encrypted chat forum. And I'm assuming, as I said when we talked about this earlier in the week, if they were involved in this type of content, they probably made the account with a fake email address. And if I had to guess as well, after the incident actually happened, they probably deleted their accounts because it happened.
Yeah, but deleting the account doesn't mean that...
They can go back and look at those IP addresses, can't they?
It depends if they were just using a outright IP address or if they were going through a VPN of some sorts. It's not difficult to mask your IP.
From the text line, that's funny, Scott. You know none of those dudes in that chat ever go outside. Okay, fair point.
That's what I said. I'm going to go do gardening. If you're in that chat room, what are you doing?
You probably spent a lot of time
ironing
in mom's basement.
Ironing your white hood?
Well, you probably spent a lot of time in mom's basement. And yes, maybe sewing on a patch to your white outfit. Yes. By the way, they're now saying that the dispatcher who hung up on a caller from the supermarket is going to be fired.
No.
Can you believe that? The dispatcher, we told you about this earlier this week, the dispatcher said to the caller who had called in from the grocery store from Tops and was whispering, the dispatcher said, why are you whispering? I don't know, maybe because I'm being shot at. and he's right there, and I'm trying not to get any attention.
You could tell the dispatcher was annoyed, short-tempered, like, didn't understand, and then just hung up.
Yeah.
Now, the call center, sheriff's department, police department is all saying the response was as quick as it could have been.
2 minutes.
Because so many people were calling in at the same time, including someone outside by the cart corral who saw him get out of the car with the gun. This guy crouched down, immediately called 911. Authorities were there in 2 minutes. The best chance anyone had at stopping him was that hero, former Buffalo police officer turned security guard, Mr. Salter, who sadly was shot and killed. But still, the dispatcher, I think, has shown that this is not probably the line of work for her.
They're going to have a hearing on May 30th. A hearing will be held in which, and I'm quoting here from one of the county officials, the county executive, in fact, in which our intention will be to terminate the 911 call taker who acted totally inappropriately, not following protocol. He reiterated that the dispatcher's tone was a completely inappropriate response in a terrible situation.
This woman then had to call her boyfriend, who then called 911.
The dispatcher's name was not released due to department standards regarding anybody who is under administrative suspension. Law enforcement response time to the shooting, though, as Dana pointed out, was incredibly effective. They were there within 2 minutes.
Here's the other thing. I think the dispatcher did hear there was a shooter. Listen to this line. She proceeded in a very nasty tone and says, "I can't hear you. Why are you whispering? You don't have to whisper." Listen to this. "They can't hear you."
Who's they?
I think she meant the shooter. "I continued to whisper, 'Ma'am, he is still in the store. He's still shooting. I'm scared for my life. Please send help.'" The fact that the dispatcher said, "I can't hear you. Why are you whispering? You don't have to whisper. They can't hear you," says to me she heard the initial sentence, which was, "Please send help. There's a shooter in the store."
Quick break for the news. Don't forget, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. And make sure you check out our podcast. Sam does a great job getting the podcast up at the end of each hour, right after the hour ends. You can check out the Dana and Parks podcast at KMBZ.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Seems we can't get through a week on this program without a story about mushroom hunters in Missouri. This one, Kevin Bruce Rogers, 60 years of age, sadly, was found dead in a well by mushroom hunters in Missouri. Dallas County Sheriff's officers announced curious mushroom hunters who stumbled across an old hand-dug well full of water earlier this month wanted to know how deep it was, so they grabbed a stick to check the depth. I think we've talked about this before. The county sheriff's department is now talking about it. To their surprise, what appeared to be a human body emerged. That's from the Dallas County, Missouri Sheriff's Department, involving mushroom hunters. So
again,
they found a dead body.
It's frequent. It's frequent.
A story here from CBS News. A previously unknown species of dolphin swam the oceans 20 million years ago, including in waters that covered Switzerland, today a landlocked country at the heart of Europe. Back then, Switzerland was part of an island landscape with its low-lying parts covered in ocean, teeming with fish, sharks, and dolphins. After examining around 300 fossils of whales and dolphins found in Switzerland, they have discovered a prehistoric dolphin species that must have swam around.
Do they do that?
What, beg your pardon? Beg your pardon? Follow-up to the story that we brought you yesterday, when Dana touched on this right at the beginning of the program, it was the subject of an Amber Alert as the show ended last night. A 5-year-old boy taken from Rose Hill, Kansas, was found safe late last night. Brixton Sisk was taken yesterday from a daycare by his mother, but she had previously had her parental rights severed by the court. Authorities say actions, including threats of violence that she had made prior to the abduction, made them believe that the 5-year-old Brixton was in imminent danger. The KBI said Oklahoma Highway Patrol troopers arrested the suspect and safely recovered the child. Now, the way I understand this is that mom, Danielle Banzette, walked into Rose Hill Elementary School yesterday to their daycare area posing as a social worker. They say she took the boy out of the building, got into a black Chevy Suburban driven by a man we now know to be Brixton's biological father.
And remember, the parents have had their rights severed by a court. The bar is very high to do that, as it should be.
Agreed.
So their rights are severed. I assume kid is now in temporary custody, foster care, another relative, maybe a grandma, we don't know. And the reason we're talking about this is I still don't understand how they released a child, even if you were the slickest salesperson in the history of scams, how they, in this day and age, released a child that, A, they didn't recognize as his mother. And one of the questions we had spitballing out here in the newsroom, when a court steps in and says, you have no more rights to your child because you can't get your life, like, whatever you've done is so bad, we are severing your parental rights. Do the schools know that?
How would they?
Well, the court or a guardian ad litem or someone with the best interests of that child in mind would have to tell the school so that this very thing doesn't happen.
Now, for them to release the child to what they thought was a social worker tells me that they are clearly aware that there are some issues with his custody.
Well, but if you're aware that there are issues, would you not triple check if someone comes in and says, hey, I'm a social worker?
Right.
I mean, my God.
And to your question, and I think you asked this in the beginning of the show at the, in the 2 o'clock hour when we touched very briefly on this. And if you want to weigh in, you're welcome to 576-7798. How easy is it to take a child out of a school slash a daycare? Now, I imagine this was at Rose Hill Elementary School. It says the Rose Hill Elementary School daycare. My guess would be that this is some sort of after school daycare program that is run by the county or
for
by the city.
Ones.
You know, think JCPRD. They run a lot of the daycares at the elementary schools in town. How easy is it to just check somebody out of one of these facilities? I would imagine there is some protocol.
I am saying in this case there was not.
Well, I think that's probably.
But do you not remember one of the kidnapping cases from many years ago, Scott? Someone in Kansas City, and this was decades ago, showed up at a child's school and said, I'm a nun. I'm here to take so-and-so. They never saw that kid again.
Ever?
Ever. Oh. And so I told this story at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. I can't go into my kid's high school where I've had, you know, many children in that district for a lot of years. I cannot get into the high school without a photo ID. Mm-hmm. I don't care who's at the front desk. You know, we are living in a crazy day and age. We're living in a school shooter age. For that reason alone, you don't let people come in and take a kid out.
Right.
I cannot believe this happened, and I'm sure they're, you know, looking over their protocols today, but
you know, we have a full board, and Sam had to step out for just a quick second. He'll be right back, and he'll get everybody lined up, and maybe we can get some answers. Those of you who know the ins and outs of this sort of business, because the two of us only know it from the side that we're on, and that's the as the parent who goes and says, hey, I want to check my kid out of school or my kid out of daycare. What does a let's say this is an after-school daycare, which is what it seems to be, maybe run by the county, yeah, run by the
like
city,
whatever.
Like a
Y-care or something,
yeah,
sure.
Sure. What information are they given regarding every kid? And who knows, at an elementary school, there could be dozens and dozens of kids that they have in an after-school program that play in the gym, play yeah. outside on the playground while they wait for mom or dad to get off work and come pick them up.
And they're probably very busy, Scott.
And underpaid and probably
yes.
young.
Couple of after school, we had the kids in Y Care after school for a couple of years. It was two, maybe three.
So are
watching
these,
after all those kids?
Are these folks alerted that, hey, with that five-year-old student that you have there, Dana Wright, Dana's parents have lost their custodial rights and you need to be aware of this,
right.
Okay? Here's what they look like. Are you provided with pictures?
Or dad is a wanted felon. He is not, here is the divorce decree. He is not allowed to be around the child. He cannot come into this school.
I mean, that's a hell of a lot of record keeping for dozens and dozens of kids whose parents, let's be honest, all will tend to pick them up at roughly the same time every day. 576-7798, Melissa in Blue Springs. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
I listen to you guys all the time. I love you.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind.
Anyway, my son just got through with a 2-year court battle with the state because my grandson's mother is a really heavy drug addict. And it's gone through the courts, and the school has documentation. And we have to show ID, as well as the principal bringing my grandson out to us to make sure that it's not his mother and it is the right people picking him up. It's only me and my son that are on that list to pick up my grandson. So at least the school where he goes does check IDs.
Good.
And won't let anyone that is not on that list take him.
But you had to go through a lot of... you know, I'm sure paperwork, and you were heavily involved. This is a case where it appears both mom and dad did not have right to this kid. And so if there's a breakdown in communication, I guess we're trying to figure out where and with whom, because both of the parents did not have rights to this kid.
Right. But yet both of the parents were in the car when the kid was found.
Yeah, and they're not going to walk the kid out to the car. And even if they did, they think this is a social worker.
576-7798. Lori in Clinton, Missouri. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I just wanted to let you know I do work in an office and we do check IDs and we are aware we put alerts on our computer when we have a non-custodial parent or a guardian issue.
Got it.
The county is slow sometimes. The DFS system is slow in getting us paperwork, but a lot of times those foster parents will let us know, and then the social worker will eventually get us the paperwork by the end of the day. But just like today, I checked an ID on a parent, and it was a custodial parent, but there are custody issues with them, and I had that alert on my computer, so that's why I checked the ID. And how the after-school program works is kind of the same way. You can list so many emergency contacts that can pick up your child.
Right.
And they check those IDs. And I'm in a smaller town, so you do get to know those faces. But just like today, for example, I had to check an ID on a case.
But if it's a legal case, Lori, like something really, really bad, like parental, you know, rights are severed, is it the county that tells the school that, or another family member, or?
20 years ago, it was always the county, the DFS system, or the social worker. But they are a lot more bogged down than they used to be. So sometimes I'll have a foster parent come in and they'll bring that child to school and they'll tell me, you know, they have the custody of the child. And I believe them because they have the child with them. But we still have to get that court paperwork to protect us. Because if I then do have the parents show up, I get a hold of my SRO. I don't even buzz the door to unlock to let them
in.
That's
a great idea.
Do you check IDs even on parents you've seen 1,000 times?
Not if I know them, but then again, I mean, I've been there 20 years, so I have parents that are picking up kids now that I had those parents in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the families. I'm that old, yeah. But if I lived like in Lee Summit or bigger school districts, I mean, it would be hard to know as many people as what I do here in my town.
Okay. Hey, Lori, do appreciate the call. Thank you for making it. 576-7798. Abby, Ann, Ashley, you guys hang tight. You're all next. Don't forget we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances here on Dana and Parks. It fortunately ended okay. The young man, 5-year-old, what was his name again? Brixton Sisk, I think it is. Yeah, Brixton Sisk was found safe last night in Oklahoma. The subject of an Amber Alert, which undoubtedly found its way to your phone late yesterday afternoon. Mom, apparently, allegedly, showed up at the school daycare at about 2:40 yesterday afternoon, and she did not have rights to the child. She and the boy's biological father had their parental rights severed by the court. She posed as a social worker to get the kid out of the school's daycare.
And do you not have to have credentials if you were a social worker taking a kid out? That's what I'm stuck because I know the school is horrified today. I mean, clearly this involved the KBI.
Yeah.
But also, come on.
There will be a very thorough review of the checking the kids out protocol at Rose Hill Elementary School. Ashley in Topeka. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, actually.
Oh, welcome.
I'm actually an office para. I'm the only one in the office currently. And my school district is large. We have over 330 kids. And I'm going to say about a little less than half of those are actually in that situation where they are actually in the system because parental rights have been severed.
Wait, so less than half?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wound up becoming kind of an expert.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, go back. That's a lot of kids.
Yep.
You're saying that where you work, half of the kids have parents whose parental rights have been severed by the court?
Yeah.
My God.
So you have to keep track of all of it?
Unfortunately, yes. Luckily, our system is known as Tyler SIS, and that's Tyler, like regular name, and then SIS. And within that system, and all schools have this form of system. It may not be called Tyler, but all schools have it.
Some form. Where it's a clearinghouse for this information, basically.
Yeah. And the best part of that is when you have a court alert, we have alerts that pop up. So when we look up the kid's name, there are little icons at the top.
Okay.
And that just grabs your attention. Now, since I have a lot of experience with this, we do have kids, we do have caseworkers that come in. They do have to show credentials. Unfortunately, with the number of people that we have, we see a lot of the same caseworkers over and over and over again. And then, so we know them by sight, but in order to even have contact with any kid for any court person, you have to have a form. You have to have a form that they have to fill out in front of you. And it's a legal document that you can't just go online and get. You can't fake that form at all.
Okay. Well, my guess is this school did not have that system. Or the school has it and not the aftercare or the pre-care. I still can't get it. Did she work in a prison?
Well, I don't know. And quite honestly, and thank you, Ashley, for the call and for the information. What a sad commentary.
God.
Ashley, that's not an indictment on you. I'm talking about the information that you shared. What a sad commentary that where she works, 50% of the kids.
Almost half.
Almost half of the kids have come from homes where the parents' rights have been severed. And to your point earlier, Dana, and you and I have seen this happen through the legal system in this town plenty of times, judges don't do that willy-nilly. The benefit of the doubt is always given to the parents. Always given to the parents.
And sadly, sometimes in cases where it shouldn't be, and then we see horrible outcomes.
The last thing the court wants to do is remove the child from the home. and then put them in what? Foster care. Nothing against foster care and those who do who work in that system, but it's not ideal. It's not.
It's not
the best
dad.
Thing for. Yeah, it's not the best thing for the kid necessarily. But what an incredible number, Abby and Gardner. Abby, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was calling to say, so our daycare, out of abundance of caution in order to prevent these kind of situations, they have a really rigorous process. Like, you have to list two primary people who are going to be picking up your kid, and then three secondary. The two primary have to have their IDs on file, and then you have to set up either a fingerprint or a two-code verification system in order to even get into the building. And if any of your secondary people are coming, you have to call and specifically say, they're coming at this time to pick up my kid.
Okay.
And they have to also have that code in order to get in, those two codes to get in. Otherwise, they will not let you into the building at all. And they have a camera set up, so you have to ring the doorbell, and they'll talk to you, and they'll just say, nope, you can't come in.
Really?
So I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know how this woman was able to get in, but it's kind of shocking.
All right. Last word goes to Kim in Smithville before we get to the news. Kim, hello.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just want a little bit of demographic. I grew up in a small town directly east of Rose Hill, Kansas. And so to just kind of give you a picture, some might think that it's a suburb of Wichita, which you could consider that, but it's not close. I mean, we're talking a town of, I think they've got four schools, maybe less than 2,000 kids.
Okay.
And I mean, they're like Arc Valley Conference when it comes to school. So it is basically a small town. So 2 points. Number one, do they really have any kind of checkout for their preschool program? And number two, are they hurting to find workers who are capable,
yeah,
but competent and trained to actually kind of be a kid's advocate when someone walks into their preschool program and starts maybe flashing some sort of paperwork or documents.
Mm. Yep.
So just kind of wanted to give you an idea of where you're at in Kansas as it pertains to this school area.
All right.
Kim, thank you for the call.
All right, we're going to check the news real quick here at the top of the hour, and then it is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances on this Friday afternoon. Get in early. Sam is opening up the phone lines as we speak. 576-7798. That number again, 576-7798. And we will do your grievances next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.